Hello, and welcome to episode 43 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. On this podcast, I attempt to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you have a Bible-related question that you would like me to consider for a future episode, you can email me your question to PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. Again, you can email me your question to PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to depart a little bit from our normal format of Q&A. Instead, what we'll be doing is looking at the seven trumpet judgments in the book of Revelation. So we will have a little bit of a question and answer style format, but not quite as much as before. What we'll do is look at where they are, what do they mean, how do they relate to the book of Revelation, what do they mean for you and I, and then I'd like to close out by looking at how we have hope today based on the promises of the future that God gives us. I know a lot of times we can be apprehensive or tentative about getting near the subject of end times and eschatology. But I think one of the downsides to doing that is we miss out on knowing that God has a future planned. He knows what's going to occur in the future, and it gives us hope for today. And so eschatology does serve as a purpose of hope. Of course, that's incumbent upon the person explaining it to point that out as well. So we'll attempt to do that a little differently today in our episode. Now, before we look at the subject of the seven trumpet judgments that are in the book of Revelation, if you have your Bibles, I want us to look at just briefly Proverbs 23, verses 17 through 18. Again, Proverbs 23, verses 17 through 18. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Proverbs 23:17 through 18 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord of the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." I start off with that just to remind us that rather than be occupied with evil and evil people, we should be occupied with the Lord and a growing relationship with Him. One of the things that the proverb teaches as well is that one day the Lord is going to put an end to all evil. But for the believer, we have hope in the future, and the hope of the future is the promises that God has revealed to us in His Word. So that's a good reminder there from Solomon to not be so preoccupied with the evil of the day, but our relationship with the Lord. But also part of that is that we have hope for the future, and that hope is, of course, centered in Jesus Christ. So on today's episode, as I said, we're going to be looking at the seven trumpet judgments in the book of Revelation. Now, in order to better understand them, take a minute to understand what the context of these judgments are. One of the key verses in the book of Revelation is Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. I'm just going to read it here. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. "Therefore, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things that will take place after these things." I say this because this is a really important verse in the book of Revelation, because what you have is a structure given in the early portion of the book. So said another way, the Apostle John, we know he was exiled to the island of Patmos somewhere in the 90s AD, and he receives a revelation of and from Jesus Christ himself. In fact, all you have to do is read the previous verses to see, beginning in verse 9, a glimpse of the glorified, resurrected Jesus Christ. So if you ever wonder what Jesus looks like today, at least in a general sense, you can look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 18, for example. But what we have here is John receiving revelation, and you see the structural markers in verse 19 of chapter 1. The things which you have seen, which is what he writes in the remainder of chapter 1. The things which are, those would be related to chapters 2 and 3. That's the seven churches of Revelation. But then if you notice, it talks about things which will take place after these things. So these are future events, future from the time of John as well as ourselves. That picks up, if you will, structurally in the book in chapter 4, verse 1. So notice, for example, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And John is told to come up here, but notice, I will show you what must take place after these things. So he's going to be shown further revelation. This revelation would be future, not only for John, but also for us. But it also things, if you notice, that must take place. These things aren't optional. God has declared, decreed, and they will happen. And so that gives us an idea of the structure. So chapter 4, verse 1 begins looking at the future. And chapters 4 and 5 make up what we see as a glorious picture of the scene in heaven. And Jesus is able to take a scroll, open the scroll, and then we begin to see the judgments that come out on creation, in other words, the earth itself. So the setting of the seven trumpets, where is it in terms of the tribulation period? I hold to pre-tribulation, premillennial. So for me, the way that I interpret the book of Revelation is that beginning in chapter 6 through the chapter 18, that is the future seven-year tribulation period. And I stop at 18 only because Revelation chapter 19 describes the literal second coming, the return of Christ to the earth. So what you have in Revelation chapter 6 through 18 is largely a series of judgments that come on the earth. What happens in these judgments is first you have a scroll that has seven seals, and then subsequent to that you have a series of seven trumpet judgments, and then you have a series of seven vial or bowl judgments, depending on your translation. The way to understand these judgments, the sequence of them, is very simply this. The seven seals on a scroll, each seal in the first six are various judgments, and we see that in the book of Revelation chapter 6. Then what you find is in the last seal, so the seventh seal, it opens up and is a little bit different. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. Because the sixth of the seven seals are in Revelation chapter 6. If you finish chapter 6, you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute, there's seven seals. Where is that one? Well, that's where we find ourselves in the book of Revelation, chapter 8 and verse 1. And this is where we'll pick up our study on this particular episode, looking at the seven trumpets. So again, John is given revelation of events that will be future, the tribulation starting in the book of Revelation chapter 6 starts with the first series of judgments that are in sevens, so that's the seven seals, and then we move into the second series of judgments, which are seven trumpet judgments. And so let's pick up and read Revelation chapter 8 in verse 1. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So the thing to notice there is that in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1, you resume from the interlude of chapter 7. So said another way, John is taken up into heaven and seen and given a scene of the throne room of God in Revelation 4 and 5. Then, of course, we have the tribulation period beginning in Revelation chapter 6 with the opening of the six seals. Revelation chapter 7 sometimes confuses people, but you have to remember here is that it is a interlude. In other words, it is taking place in heaven. The scene continues from the end of Revelation chapter 6 in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1, and the Lamb, which we know from chapter 6 is Jesus Christ, he breaks the seventh seal, which is what triggers what will follow, and what follows is a seven series of judgments via trumpets. So let's look here and continue in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 2. And I, that's John there, the apostle, saw the seven angels who stood before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. So these are the seven trumpets that we'll be looking at, and these are the second group, if you will, of seven judgments. So now let's look at what are these seven trumpet judgments, where do we find them in terms of the biblical text, and we'll go from there. But the thing to remember is you have three series of judgments. The first series is the seals. The second is what we're looking at, which is trumpets. And then the third are the bowls of the wrath of God. So we're looking at the second series of judgments. And so after the opening of the seventh seal, you have seven angels. They step forward and they have and are equipped by God with trumpets. And so the trumpet judgments will follow sort of in a similar pattern to the sixth seal judgments. And we see where God moves forward in these series of judgments. So the seventh seal is what is triggering these seven trumpets. So what are the seven trumpets? The seven trumpets are clearly, of course, the wrath of God being poured out on an unbelieving world and a rebellious world. Those who have rejected not just God himself in the sense of belief in the existence of God, but they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a series of judgments. Now, the first trumpet takes place in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7. And this trumpet is hail and fire. But one of the things to note there is, of course, it's not only bloody, but one-third of the vegetation is destroyed. Then we move on to the second trumpet, and that's Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. And you have what is sometimes referred to as the fiery mountain that comes down from heaven, and that consumes, again, one-third of the ocean is populated. One of the things just to pause and make note of here is that you'll notice that there is a very severe increase in the judgments. And what I mean by that is the seal judgments are bad. The seven trumpets are really bad. But then God really pours out the wrath with those bowl judgments. So the judgments are intensifying, would be a way to see it. But also to that, notice how much judgment is coming. One-third, if you notice. So we've looked at the first, second, what's the third one? Well, the third trumpet is in, again, chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. And here you have what is sometimes seen as the great star, the falling star that comes from heaven. And it goes down and it's looking like a burn. It burns like a torch. And it covers, again, notice, a third of the rivers and the springs of water are polluted here. So again, you've got one-third of vegetation, one-third of the oceans, one-third of the fresh water is being polluted here. If you've ever heard a study or reference to wormwood, in verse 11, that is where that comes from. If you notice, it says the name of the star is called wormwood. So this is where, if you ever heard that phrase before, where that comes from. So then, of course, we move on to the fourth trumpet, And again, notice the angels, the messengers, the servants of God are sounding these trumpets. They're blowing these trumpets, and these trumpets, when they're sounded, they're blowing forth, I like to think, or sounding forth the judgments that are coming on the earth. So the fourth one is a third of the sun, moon, and stars are darkened. So this would be darkness here. And you see again a third. But then you get to the fifth one, and the fifth one is one that takes us into Revelation chapter 9. I'm just going to read this one because this one's a little bit different. This one is one that is very ominous. Notice Revelation chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. This would represent the fifth trumpet. And essentially what it is a demonic invasion. So we'll just read the first part. Then the fifth angel sounded, notice, blew the trumpet, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And then you'll notice in verse 3, then out of the pit come up locusts and scorpions and so forth. So obviously, we cover the fifth trumpet. We'll go all the way through verse 12. And verse 12 there is the ending of it. So if you ever heard of Apollyon, that's where that comes into, meaning the name there. That's in verse 11. You have the scorpions and so forth, and they hurt and seek to bring about great agony on men whom they sting. And one of the things to note here is Revelation chapter 9 in verse 6, and it says, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. Death actually flees from them, so they won't be able to escape the death by, of course, unfortunately, killing themselves. So next we move into the sixth trumpet. So if you're taking notes, the fifth trumpet encompasses chapter 9, the first 12 verses. The sixth trumpet picks up in verse 13 and goes through the end of chapter 9, which is verse 21. So in verse 13, the sixth angel follows suit and sounds forth the trumpet. And you come and you see here what we would think of as the army of 200 million, and one third of mankind is killed. And so when we look at this structure, it's very similar to the seal judgments, only that the intensity has increased. So before we move to this seventh and final trumpet, again, the series of trumpets, the first one is in chapter 8, verse 7. The second one, chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. The third in chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. The fourth, chapter 8 and verse 12. The fifth and the sixth trumpets, those are in chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And then verses 13 through 21. Now, before we look at the seventh and final one, I want to draw your attention to something, and it's in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20. This is something that comes up at other points along the way, but I just want to stop and make a note of this. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, so this is the sequencing of thirds in the judgments, did not repent of the works of their hands. The reason why I mention this is you will see this repeated pattern that even though the judgments are known to be from God, from the wrath of the Lamb, you see that in chapter 6, even though the judgments keep getting more and more intensified, man's heart is so hardened and he continues to be unwilling to repent and to turn, which is really what repentance is, to God. He hardens himself to the point where he just is unwilling. He would rather have and endure the judgment. It's very strange, I suppose I would say, because one would assume that someone would turn, but unfortunately we see they don't. I think it's a good reminder that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to repent, to turn to the Lord and trust in Him alone, and not have to be subject to such harsh judgment, but of course, just judgment. But let's look at the seventh trumpet, because the reason why I mention this one, obviously it is last, but why I paused there is because the first six trumpets, quite frankly, are hard to look at. They're hard to teach on, only in the sense that you see the great cataclysmic judgment on the hard hearts of humanity, in spite of God's gracious offer of forgiveness. But is there hope? Well, yes, there's hope. The judgments, of course, are to warn. But one of the things you'll find is in the seventh trumpet is hope. The seventh trumpet, just like the seventh seal, is what is used to usher in the last series of seven judgments. So said another way, the seventh trumpet blows, and what is to come of that is the seven bowl judgments, the vile judgments that we see later in the book. But notice what verse 15 through 19, which represent the seventh trumpet, say. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." And they go on and give praise to God, and they see where the nations rage, verse 18. But God's wrath has come, and He's going to vindicate not only the martyrs, but the saints of God, both great and small, all points in between. This is such an important but also encouraging verse for believers, because on the one hand, of course, we are not appointed to wrath, but obtaining salvation, deliverance by the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we'll be delivered from the future wrath of God, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. But also with that, we see in the seventh trumpet is that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and He will bring forth, of course, justice and righteousness, and He will reign on the earth. Notice again, the kingdom of this world, this evil satanic kingdom, is going to be overthrown by Christ. And then when He does that, that will be the ending of all kings and kingdoms. This, of course, parallels what we see in the book of Daniel, in the great statute of Daniel chapter 2. But just remember, one day in the future, all of the evil satanic empires and kingdoms and rulers, they're going to be overthrown by Jesus Christ. And I love the place of this in the tribulation, because essentially what is being said is it's fait accompli, it's foregone conclusion at this point. The seventh trumpet, when it blows, there'll be no stopping God at that point from ushering in the seven bowls, which trigger not just Jesus' second coming to earth, but His reign in the millennial kingdom. And so at this point, it's a done deal. It's just a matter of the final fulfillments of judgment and so forth. I mentioned at the beginning the proverb, because the proverb tells us that we aren't supposed to be occupied, in other words, preoccupied, I would say, with the evil of this world, but be preoccupied with our relationship with the Lord. Because one day we will be delivered not only from the evil of the world, but we have hope for the future. I'm going to read this before we finish. It comes from Robert Thompson's commentary on Revelation. He writes, "Jesus will return and assume the throne of His father David in this future crisis, at which time He will replace the satanically energized sovereignty of world rulers that has prevailed for so long. The whole theme of Revelation is the purging of evil from the world so that it can become the domain of the King of Kings. Only a physical kingdom on earth will satisfy this." And beloved, that is what will happen one day. God's word is true, His promises are true, they will be fulfilled, and Christ will overcome all evil. Unfortunately, judgment is needed because of man's hard heart. But of course, we don't have to face the judgment. If we would repent and turn to Christ, we would be delivered. not only having salvation and eternal life, but delivered from the wrath that is to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. I pray that is the case for you. And if not, you would simply turn and trust in what Jesus has done for you and not look to try to earn or achieve salvation on your own. Just simply receive the free gift of salvation. Turn and walk and grow in your relationship with the Lord each day. May that be true of each of us. Well, hopefully this has helped with an overview of the study of the seven trumpet judgments. If you have questions on it, please send me an email to Pastor Steven, STEVEN, DBC, @gmail.com. Until then, Maranatha.